Does everyone have Maram Kamas? Do you have Maram Kamas? No? Okay. Is that the sun? Welcome back, everyone. It's nice to see you all after a two-week hiatus, not too long, actually. We're going to cover various aspects of Hilchos Yichud with certainly the Makoros, and we'll try to give some very practical applications which come up very often, certainly in your stage of life. And as Rabbanim, you'll be on the answering end of other people at different stages of their lives in terms of dealing with their Hilchos Yichud. Just to start things off with one or two words of context for Hilchos Yichud, of course, attempt Yuli Mamlachas Konim Vegoy Kadosh, Goy Kadosh, Dr. Rashi, Kadoshim Tiyur, Dr. Rashi Prishim and Arayas. It's an important concept to realize, especially when you speak to people who are not intimate with the halachas of Kedusha and Tznius as we are familiar. To whenever you speak to people who are, you know, a little foreign to Torah, to let them realize that, what do you mean? You can't be in the room with me. Just what are you? Is someone going to do something to you? Are you going to do something to me? Are you crazy? Just to realize that there's a to be elevated means to take precautions that uncomfortable situations never even have to get begotten to. There's an incredible Gra, which I think is a very sodistic Gra in a lot of areas. The Gra in Pirkei Avos writes on Einata Bali De Avera. Why does it say Einata his talk with Shlosha Dvarav Einata Bali De Avera? It should say Einata Chote. He says, no. Once a person is in a matzav where there's nisayon, says the Gra, and there's a hiskarbas hayetzer, man does not have in his koach to withstand the yetzer without HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping him. Personally, a person doesn't have the independent koach. A person's koach is only in as much as he's able to avoid being in nisayon in the first place. Ve'ein ata ba lidei. If you have these histaka v'shlosha dvarim, so you're not going to come to situations where there's a potential for an aver. Once you're in a nisayon, then his garbas hayetz is too strong, says the Gra. And therefore, if you're walking by the cliff, it's not that you can make sure not to fall off. You have to make sure you don't walk by the cliff. That's also what Ruchai Shulevit says. He asks a question on a shtickle in Sichos Musa titled "Schar Schar Amrinan Lanazira." The Kamala Sikra of Chaim Shalatz asks, how could we ever get punished for any of the averis that we do? After all, Ein Adam Chote Elam Kein Nichnas Bo Ruch Shtus. So if it's in Shota, whenever there's a Chait, certainly in Arayas. So we're Pashto, we're the Din Shtus, a Ruch Shtus, Din Shota, I'm out of control. So says Chaim Shalatz, the Schar Va'onesh, the accountability that a person has when they have any sin is, again, not on did they do the Avera, did they not do the Avera. It's on putting themselves in a circumstance where the Avera is not even an opportunity, where it doesn't even present itself. That's where the Nisayon is. Once they're there, like the Gra says, they're out of their own hands. And therefore, certainly, the Geder Gadol for Arayas is unquestionably Yichud, and if a person, if people that you whom you are counseling are having challenges in terms of their Gili Arayos areas, there's no question that the one single thing that is a matzil in every respect, and is a matzil before things get to be worse, is certainly to counsel them to be very careful in Hilchas Yichud. Just to define the word Yichud, Yichud has nothing to do with a locked room, which we'll talk about in a little while. It has to do being in a situation of seclusion. It could be outdoors, it could be in a forest, it could be in a field, it could be on the prairies of Kansas, which is visible for miles and miles and miles, but there are no people within those miles and miles and miles. Those are all Yichud, be it night, be it daytime. Tomer Dvora. Why did Dvora sit under a tomer? So if you've ever seen a tomer, you've ever seen a date tree, you'll notice that the branches start high up. And I don't remember who said that, but they point out that's why Dvora sat under a tomer, because the lower part of the tree, the bottom two-thirds of the tree is completely empty, and only higher up are the branches. That's just an indication that it could be even outdoors, which is a sign that the poskim discussed more in depth in various areas in Eben Hezer and Yerodeah, but that's just Sanskima. Let's talk about, as an introduction to Hilchas Yichud, Deraisa, Derabanan, is an independent Isser, is a Geder for Isser. First of all, I have a number of Gemaras, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Alef Amud Beis. Well, before we get to the Gemara, the pasuk in Dvarim says, "Ki yisischa achicha ben imcha ben." That pasuk, the Gemara cites, is the source for Yichud. How that pasuk tells us anything about Yichud is a tremendous discussion in the pasuk, because you don't really see anything in that pasuk other than somebody's telling you something b'seiser. So the simplest understanding is that the pasuk is telling you that you are allowed to be b'seiser with your mother and your sister. And we deduce from that anybody else of the arayos, you're not allowed to be b'seiser with. So at least on a d'oraisa level, the only yichud is going to be with one of the arayos, one of the 20, 30 some odd arayos. And anything else cannot, by definition, be among the yisurim d'oraisa of yichud. But you do see, at least with pashtus, that Yichud is Daraisa, which is what it seems at simple at first glance, although the poskim discuss, maybe there's some Lashonis and different Rishonim who maybe don't talk about Malkus, they talk about Makos, some of the Rishonim maybe use the word Divrei Sofrim, but the passage is there is a concept of Yichud Daraisa. Historically, we go fast forward a few hundred years and we have a Gemara, I think it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph, if I'm wrong, then it's Avodah Zarah Chaf Alamed Vav, which has a story of David's son Amnon, who had a love affair was lovesick for Tamar, and one of his friends saw Amnon and said, "Why do you look so sick?" He said, "I'm not sick, I'm lovesick." So he says, "I have a great idea for you. Why don't you pretend that you're sick, and your stepsister, your half-sister, whatever she was, will come take care of you, and when she takes care of you, you could take advantage of her, because you'll be lying in bed, and she won't ever assume anything's going to happen." So that's exactly what happened. Amnon pretends that he's sick, and his half-sister Tamar comes to take care of him, and she gets raped, ultimately Avshalom, as it says in Shmuel Bey's Perkid Gimel, kills his brother, half-brother Amnon, for raping Avshalom's sister Tamar. Zok the Gemara ba'osa sha amru, livnos malachim kach. If that's what could happen to Levnos Malachim, Levnos Adiotos, Alachas Kama Vekama, Im Litznuot Kach, Leprutzos, Alachas Kama Vekama, Ba'osa Shah, Gozru Al HaYichud, Al HaPenuya, Ve'al HaPenuya. So at that stage, there was a Gzera, Derabonon, obviously Bezdin Shal David, not just the very early Derabonon, that made it into Tanakh, that was in the time of Tanakh. Gozru al ha'yichud. What do you mean? Gozru al ha'yichud. Yichud was also midarais, like we said from the pasuk in Dvarim. So the answer is the Gemara. Yichud, of course, is darais. Who? Rather, when we said yichud is darais, that's only for arayas. Here, the Gemara extended yichud even for penuyos, and of course, penuyos presumably meaning tahoros, like they were in the olden days, as opposed to our penuyos, which are normally temeos. They're usually nidos. We'll talk about that in a moment. Finally, historically, there's a third stage in Hilchas Yichud. That's a Mishnah that says Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Gozru. Even on Yichud with a Goya, she is not an Erva, right? The Chayvei Lavin, she's not an Erva, not Chayvei Krisus. B, she's not a Pnuya Tahora for which we have to be concerned. And so therefore, there is until now, she's Mataris, therefore at the time of Hillel and Shammai, many hundreds of years later, that's when we got to an Isra Yichud with a Goya. the parameters of this Yichud D'Oraisa, and this is going to be very important because there are going to be a lot of machlokes that we're going to, you know, soon see in Hilchos Yichud. And besides that, there are also a lot of Shas Adchaks in Hilchos Yichud. Be it because you have to go to a certain doctor, be it because somebody has to fix the toilet and your wife or your mother is the only one home, be it because somebody at work is... So there are a lot of Shas Adchaks, and you sort of want to have the flexibility to be somech on Shitos, not Shitos Yachids necessarily, but Shitos that are not necessarily mainstream, but they're still significant enough, and therefore you have to know whether you're talking about the Yichud D'Oraisa or Yichud D'Rabbanan, the Chok Gadol is... One and one is D'Oraisa. Whenever you don't have one and one, whenever there are more than one man and one male and one female involved, you knock it down to Yichud D'Rabbana, and then there is a little bit more flexibility to be somech on other shitas, and this will be a very significant yediyah to start off with, to know that we're going to... But things are going to be D'Oraisa, we're going to be tend to be more machmir, of course, and things are D'Rabbanan, then, of course, b'shas hadchak, we're going to look for ways to be mekel. Just, again, before we start the halachos, the parameters of a penuya nida, which is certainly for people who are in dating ages, that's the most common shaila. So, is that a D'Oraisa or is it D'Rabbanan? Well, we said that yichud D'Oraisa is only arayos. And, for example, Eishes Ish. But is Anida an Erva or not? Of course she is an Erva. She's in one of the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Achrei Mos says, of course she's an Erva. Well, is there Tfisas Kiddushin? We know that there's no Tfisas Kiddushin by Arias. But we know that Chlupas Nida, there is Tfisas Kiddushin. So maybe she's not a regular Erva. We know that... The Vlad of an Erva is, of course, a Mamzer. We know that the Vlad of a Nida is only a Ben Nida, which is a Pagam at most, but nothing more than that. On the other hand, it is listed among the Arayis, and there is a Chiv Karis. Lamaisa, the conclusion of the postkim is, even though they're at Stadim Lakan, the conclusion of the postkim is that Nida Penuya is an erva, is an erva, and therefore yichud with a penuya nida is midoraisa, and therefore anyone who goes on a date could assume that the shaila that they are going to be finding themselves in with the person with whom they are dating will be a shaila of an isur d'oraisa. Let's begin the discussion of hilchos yichud talking about the ages. Here we have a funny paradigm. It's not like all the other halachs which are tali on bar bas mitzvah, although we'll see in a moment that it will be very much tali. It's tali on when a person is roi lebia. The age for roi lebia, of course, for a boy is 9 years old, for a girl is 3 years old to be ruya lebia. But we're going to have, so let's just speak out a few applications in a very nogela maisa. You have an older brother who has a baby girl. So you could babysit your niece if she's 1 year old and 2 years old. Once your baby niece is 3 years old, you can no longer be the babysitter. Let's say, B'Shah Tov Mitzlachas, Mazel Tov to Stephen Mermelstein on your recent boy, I believe, right? Named the Kayesh of Yisrael? Meir Simcha. Let's say Stephen has a sister who wants to babysit Meir Simcha. He should grow to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham like a Meir Simcha. And let's say Stephen has an older sister who wants, or a younger sister who wants to babysit her delicious nephew. So she could babysit for her nephew as long as he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Once he's 9 years old, then already your sister won't be able to babysit for you. I don't know if you have a sister, but if you do. The Torah's Hayichud, which is a wonderful sefer, it's put out by the Otzar Poskim, put out by one of the Poskim in Muncie, from Machon Lahora, one of the Dayanim. He has a sefer that's unique. I'll tell you what it's unique about. Sefer. It's called Torah's Hayichud. What's unique about it is there are a lot of machlokuses that are very lemaisa in Hilchos Yichud. He more than any other sefer that I've seen in Hilchos Yichud, gives you a bottom line how to deal with all the machlokes. All the other sefarim say, the machlokes about this and this to be machmir. Or the machlokes about this and this, they don't say to be machmir, but you end up having to be machmir because you don't know what to do. He gives you, and with alumnus and with explanations of what the bottom line for the after the machlokes ha contemporary poskim, he'll give you still what the bottom line is. So Torah Yichud points out something very important. I told you that everything is tali on roi lebia, ruya lebia, which is 3 and 9. But it's only, the Isser of Yichud is only on a person who's a gadol, or a woman who's a gadola. And that means, and listen to this, if you have an 11-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy, both whom are ru'uyim labiyah but are still ktanim, it is mutter for them to be misyached. Because the Isser of Yichud is only on a gadol. There's no gadol here. It's only on a gadola. There's no gadola here. So therefore, there's no Isser Yichud on an 11-year-old, even in terms of chinuch. It is mutter for an 11-year-old girl to be with a 12-year-old boy. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaro. As far as I see, yes. Similarly, hold on one second. Similarly, Rabbi Yashiv, I probably cited the same Sefer Torah HaYichud. He quotes a lot from Rabbi Yashiv. A tremendous and a very important kula. Let's say you have a 10-year-old brother. And you're here in college, you're in Smicha, you're learning, you're in Shiva. And your parents are going out for the night. So, 10-year-old shouldn't be by himself, so they want to get a babysitter. Who's going to babysit? Either the 17-year-old high school girl down the block, that's also for her. The kid is already 9 years old, and she's a bas mitzvah, so it's also for her to babysit. Man, what man is going to go babysit a 10-year-old boy? Says Rabbi Yashiv, you could get a guy. A woman who's not Jewish, a non-Jewish woman. Why? Because a non-Jewish woman is not mitzuvah in halachos of Yichud. Is the katan mitzuvah in the halachos of Yichud? No, he's a katan. He's 12 years old. Is he royal to be a yes? But there's no Isra on him. On her anyway, there's no halachos of Yichud. So therefore, says Rabbi Yashiv, you could have the 20 or 30 or 40, 50-year-old woman and the 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boy be Yichud because there's no one who is violating any Isra. And of course, let's do the opposite way. Let's say you have a 7, 8, 9-year-old sister, and there's no one who could babysit. There are no people who could babysit her who are female. So you could have a babysitter who's a male babysitter if he's not Jewish, even though she's a reuliyobia. You could have an adult man who's not Jewish babysit a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old young lady. That's Rabbi Yashiv's kula, also based on these halachas of that you only have to be a bar chiyuva. Let's just finish this section. In terms of the ages, what happened on the other side of the spectrum? Let's say you have a man who's so old that he can't be boel. He's impotent. He can't come l'kishui. So will such a man be talui, be subject to the halachas of Yichud? Here, Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, Evan HaEzer Chelek Dalet, Simon Samach Hei. Simon Samach Hei in Evan HaEzer Dalet is a list of 22 or 25 shilas in Hilchas Yichud. So it's like one. I'm going to quote that about 5 times, depending on how much I get through. So he makes the chiluk. He says, if the doctors have clinically declared this person impotent and unable to be niskasha, then there is no isur yichud with him at all, even with an erva, even with his niece, even with his aunt, let's say, even with an ishus ish. So therefore, for example, let's say your wife, B'shatov Mitzlachis, is going to be a nurse, and she'll be a visiting nurse or something like that. Can she go tend to this man? Let's say there's no one else around, the doors are locked, we're not going to have any other hetayim, there's no Baal HaBir, which we'll talk about in a few minutes as well. Can she tend to this man who is clinically impotent? Ramosha says, since he has been clinically declared as impotent, there will not be an Isser Yichud, because nothing could even potentially happen. However, says Ramosha, if he hasn't been clinically declared as impotent, he just knows that, he feels that he's just unable to come to a Kishui, then we will only be Matya Pnuya Tahora, which is, as we mentioned earlier, only an Isser Drabbanan, right? That's from Tamar and Amnon. That's only an Isser Drabbanan. So if he knows that he can't be in his Kasha, so Lamaisa, that's not so common halachal ma'is, because we don't have any pniya taharas anymore. Hopefully not often. Yeah, question. What? Same svar, right. That person could have a non-Jewish nurse, because that non-Jewish nurse will only be an Issa D'Rabbanan from Hillel Shammai, right. even the lower level Issa D'Rabbanan. Perfect, thank you. So it will be okay for that man to have a non-Jewish visiting nurse come tend to him. Thank you. Or even a home care 24-hour nursing, which is certainly very common. Yeah. What? No. Oh, is it Katana Pnuya Tahora? But that's not as... Halachal Ma'aseh, these questions are more with nurses and therapists. But depends how old the Katana is.
Babysitter, you know, Drabbanan would start with, if you're also, say, 9 or younger.
a 9-year-old babysitter.
No, you're babysitting a 3-9-year-old girl.
If I'm babysitting a 4-year-old girl,
so
that's...
So
that's
Sederabana, so
I'm keeping it a lot more foolish. But we'll still need some, right, it will be our Sederabana, that's right. So then we have to figure out when we'll all be in a compromising situation, and they'll have whatever, but that itself is the last Sederabana.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the shiur for how long Yichud has to be. And here I just want to make something, everyone knows the story of the elevators, and I'll just tell you, I had a story when I went out on my very first date. Very first date, I went out with somebody in Toronto. And anyone here from Toronto? So you don't know who she is, good. No, that's what I was about to say. What do you do when you go to Toronto? And here, visit the Toronto? Well, the Blue Jays weren't playing, it was late at night, I guess, so
yeah.
They couldn't see the whatever dome thing that opens up. So they go to CN Tower. CN Tower is basically a tower 100 and some odd floor stories high, and we went to go up the CN Tower, and we noticed that it was later in the evening, and there were no one else in the elevator besides that. We didn't go in. When we realized that there wouldn't be anyone else in the elevator besides us, so we chose to go elsewhere in Toronto, but not up the CN Tower. Of course, elevators are typically not a problem because they could open any floor, and therefore the time that you'll be Yichud is going to be less than the shiur. What is the shiur? So the Gemara says, and this is important, there are a lot of halachas in Yichud that are totally in a different area of Yichud in the Torah. Where else in the Torah is there an isser, is there a discussion of Yichud on a Doraisa level? By Sota, Kinui, and Stiris. What is Stiris? Stiris means Yichud. So there, we do have a lot more clarification because we have a whole Masechta about Sotas, and it's a Pasuk about Stira. So we have... So the Gemara tells us exactly what the shear for stira is. And in case you want to do any experimentation, I assure you there are poskim who did the experimentation. Kedei litzlos beitza ulegoma, the amount of time that it takes to roast, I guess. Let's see. To roast an egg and swallow it. Swallow it while it's a hard-boiled egg? Or roast it so it's a soft egg and then swallow it like a drink. That's something you could think about. So the Dvar Halacha, this I do want to show you what the Dvar Halacha is. The Dvar Halacha was written by somebody in Bnei Brak in the 50s, probably, I'm assuming, or 60s. He's a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. This is the Bible. Every Sefer that is written in Hilchos Yichud in the past 50 years is based on the Dvar Halacha. If it's not based on the Dvar Halacha, then probably not a good Sefer. He brings a huge amount from the Chazon Ish. Why is that important? Because, as I think Rabbi Willig once told me, let me rephrase that. The Chazon Ish in Hilchos Yichud happened to have been a big mekel. So as Rabbi Willig once told me, if you have a kula from the Chazon Ish, how can you not take it? So it happens to work out very nicely in Hilchos Yichud because he brings down all the Chazon Ishes. Chazon Ish was very much, you could just see from the Sefer, Arangatan in and everything. But a lot of important clues from the Chazon. So Dvar Halacha did a lot of experimentation based on the various poskim's descriptions of Litzlos Beitza or Lagoma, and he came out with his, based on his empirical research, 35 seconds. Now 35 seconds means that if the CN Tower elevator is 35 seconds long, which I'm sure it is, that would be an Isser. And we said with a Pnuya Temeya, it's going to be an Isser Deraisa if the person was presumably a Pnuya Temeya. That would be, because she's neither, that would be presumably be an Issa Daraisa. So it happens to be that sheet is the smallest you're going to find. No one is so machmir. Give me 35 seconds, please. Rav Yashiv probably brought down in Sefer Torah's Hayichot, I don't remember where I saw it, says certainly under a minute is totally fine. B'shasad Chag, you can make it up to a minute and a half. What's most important to our discussion is Rav Moshe Feinstein's cooler. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, of course, that's the shear. That's the shear for a sota. But who's a sota? A sota is a girl that the husband says, you've been hanging around with so-and-so too much. You seem too friendly with so-and-so. Stay away from her. Stay away from that guy, he tells his wife. And now she goes and hangs out with this guy for 35 seconds. That's terrible. That was Yichud. But says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's because the husband is already worried that this girl and his wife and this guy have this thing going between them, things are going to happen so quickly. But we have to be, in terms of regular Hilchos Yichud, you have to assume that they also have to be added the amount of time that it takes to get undressed, the amount of time that it takes to get dressed again. And if they're not gus with one another, if they're not close and very friendly one with another, you also have to leave an amount of time for him to be miratze, the woman to convince her to seduce her. And all of a sudden, you start adding, you know, it could add up. Is it 2, 3, 4 minutes? If they don't know each other, maybe it could be 20 minutes, whatever it is. All of a sudden, the Shir Yichud becomes much more flexible. Not flexible, just the Shir Yichud means it has to be reasonable that something can happen, which will be, again, a few more minutes, and then I think is a sign that one can rely upon, certainly B'Shas HaDchak, that just strength stretches out the time. But I want to talk about one very important thing that people get that people misunderstand. Hold on one second. Legabi the shiurim, all these shiurim. To be in yichud for one moment is asur. If it is a situation where the shiur can play itself out. If you're in a situation like an elevator where the shiur will only last for 20 seconds or for 2 minutes, whatever that amount is, then we could discuss if the situation is only a situation of 20 seconds or a minute and a half, is that a shiur yichud? Is it not a shiur yichud? But for example, this happened to me last year. I came home for lunch one day and the cleaning lady was in the house. And I come home. I didn't know she was home. I come home. I lock the door behind me. And then I go to I see the second, my kid's bedroom. I see her sweeping the floor. That was yichud, even if it only took me 4 seconds to find her. Okay, it was a b'shogeg bonus, whatever you want to call it. So I'll go and run up the open door. There, the fact that I was in a locked house with a woman, that's a situation. If you just if you freeze that situation, nothing's going to change that status quo of being in a locked house with this woman. So it's going to stay like that. And it could be like that for 5 hours. It could be like that for shorter. But that's not a situation of the yichud only going to be a short amount of time. And therefore, these shiurim are not so applicable.
Doesn't the Sefer Torah say yichud say against that?
Sorry, it doesn't.
Doesn't the Sefer Torah say yichud say against that? He says that chatzi shiur is not asur by yichud because it's only an isur where you're there for the shiur. The Zilazer makes the chiluk you did. When he talks about chatzi shiur asur, he quotes the whole list of posts and say both ways and says, that's only in a case where the shiur won't end yourself. But if you have a choice to extend the shiur, so just being there for less than however long doesn't help. So the Torah see yichud doesn't say like that.
He
says that chatzi shiur is mutter by yichud because chatzi shiur is not. Yichud there's no chazim serufi.
That would be not like what I'm saying, but I don't remember. Okay.
This is not chatzi shiur. We're saying that you have the shiur and you're just, what you're saying is that the shiur doesn't qualify.
No, the shiur is. The question is, if I know that the cleaning lady is in my house, can I lock the door for 15 seconds? That's the question.
No, I understand. What I'm saying is that the question of chatzi shiur, which what you're saying stands, I think, regardless of the question of chatzi shiur, because here we're just qualifying what the shiur is. The shiur is not a shiur of how long you're there. It's a qualification of the situation.
Okay. Fine. One thing that let's just go on. I don't want to get stuck because it's a huge amount to cover. You're allowed to be misyached, of course, with your mother and your sister. With your mother and your sister, like the pasuk allows, your wife certainly. There's something that a lot of people are not aware of. So, like, you have a friend from somewhere in the. It always works with somebody in the Midwest, Chicago, Cleveland, or Columbus, or Cincinnati. It just always ends up or St. Louis. And they say, "Oh, how are you doing? You just came to New York. What are you doing here?" He's like, "I'm not really sure. I just moved into my sister's apartment." So great, right, there's no Issa Yichud. So this is very important for people should know and they don't know, is that although there's no Issa Yichud with one sister, there is an Issa of Yichud b'kvius with one's sister. What is the Shir of Kvius? There's no Shir of Kvius. Many poskim say that it ends up being, we assume, the Gemara doesn't give a definition, but we assume Kvius means 30 days. That means, in fact, I have a student who's, to save money, shares an apartment with his sister here in the Heights. I haven't told him anything because I think that, whatever, for whatever reasons, but that is a violation. He thinks it's wonderful and the parents think it's so nice that the brother and the sister are there for one another. That is usher. Period. Rabbi Savlowski pointed out something that's very interesting. I don't know. I don't remember. Right, so Lesky pointed out something else, just a permutation. Everyone has a friend like this. You know, the guy that he just graduated college, and he's, again, moving somewhere from either St. Louis, Cincinnati, Columbus, or Chicago to New York. And he's not really sure what he's doing with himself. So he might go to college, get a master's, he might go to yeshiva, he might go to yeshiva next month, he might look for a job, he's not really sure. So Lesky says, if he moves into his sister's apartment with that plan, or better yet, that lack of a plan, that itself is already a kvius. So even the 30 days you don't have because his 1 week, his 3 days being there is already, I might be here for months and months and months, or I might not be. That itself might be a situation of a kvius. Fine. Let's talk for 1 minute about yichud with a goy and a goya, married or not married. We said before that there's a gzeir of Hillel and Shammai that a Jewish man is not permitted to be with a Gentile woman be yichud. That's asur d'rabbanan. This isur d'rabbanan, not to be with a... If there's a Jewish woman who is with a goy, that isur will be there even if the goy's wife is present. In other words, a Jewish woman with a couple, a Gentile husband and wife, is still usher. If anyone, as somebody who might remember a little bit of history from recent years, from Bill Clinton, when it is convenient, it's not the worst thing if your husband has an affair with another woman. So we see that the threshold of acceptance might be a little bit different in different communities between Jews and others, and therefore this halacha would apply for a Jewish woman to be even with a guy whose wife is present. That's the end of the introduction to Hilchas Yichud. Now, basically, before I take a question, Hilchas Yichud is built as follows. There's an Isser called Yichud. That Isser has four or so heterim, and the parameters of those heterim, once you define Yichud, which we just did, we now have to define the four parameters of Hetayim, and that's how the entire sugya of Yichud, that's how all the Sfarim work, that's how the sugya is built. There's an Isser, and then there are these four Hetayim that the Gemara gives us, and then you just have to figure out all the parameters of all the Hetayim, and how whatever situation you find yourself in fits into one of those four Hetayim. The Hetayim are Pesach, Pesach, Lishus, Harabim, Baila, Be'ir, Shomrim, and of course, if there are additional people, you might not have yichud because it's not yichud as if you're secluded. If there are numerous people around, that might not be yichud to start with. So that's what we're going to talk about now. How many people constitute yichud? Yeah.
The case of a Jewish woman with a couple, is that a straight rule that it's always yichud, or is that an assumption that in general you have to worry? But if imamish know these people and know that they would never accept such a thing, would that not be yichud?
I don't remember. Excellent question. There's a lot of merit to what you're saying.
Jewish woman with a guy and a guy.
And his wife, yeah.
So, is there yichud for her?
For the Jewish woman.
The Jewish woman.
Right. Now we're going to have to start holding cup, because we're going to get into a little bit of the numbers game now. And as many times as you learn the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin Daf Pei Aleph, always gets a little bit confusing. So basically the rule... So right now, are there any Sephardim here? Thank you, Sephardim. You're not Sephardim?
No, just my cousins are all Sephardim.
Okay, fine. So we're completely Ashkenaz here? Great, so we don't have to, it's easier for us, so we'll just go Ashkenaz today. We'll ignore the Shulchan Aruch for now. And the Rambam. So we're just going to go straight Mishnah, Ramah, and ignore everything in between. So the Mishnah in Kedushin says, Isha achas misyachedes im shnei anoshim. So if you have one woman, she is permitted to be with two men. Why? Says Rashi, because one man is going to be bosh from the other man who is present. The Gemara gives two limitations. Of this heter. So right now, again, we're going to be talking about one woman. We're talking about one woman right now. A woman calls you with a shayla, and you're going to listen to the shayla, but once you know it's one woman involved, the question is just how many men, now you have the mindset to listen to her shayla. One woman. The Gemara says there are two limitations. When she's allowed to be, says the Mishnah, with two men alone, there are two limitations. First of all, they cannot be prutzim. Secondly, says the Gemara, this heter of her being with two men is only be'ir. Because once she's baderach, then we're concerned, the Gemara is concerned, that one of them will have to go to the bathroom, leaving just that one woman with that one man left over. And that will be a situation of yichud. And therefore, baderach, you always need not just one woman with two men, there always has to be a third man involved, so that if one goes to the bathroom, you still have the heter of one woman with two men. Yes.
You violated the one on the derech. You violated it right at the beginning, or only when one of them goes to bed?
It's a great shaila. That's a great shaila. The post can have a long tune about that, so we're not going to get into that. The question is, who are prutzim? This is where the fun begins. Lehalacha for Ashkenazim. The Rama is very generous and is very kind and says, everybody, all the frum guys you know, anybody here in shir with you is a kosher, is not a parutz. And therefore, if you have one, let's not talk about baderech, let's talk about daytime in a city, you have a young lady come over to your apartment, either a cleaning lady or a date, whatever it will be permitted for you and your roommate, who's another male, to host this woman in your apartment during the daytime. What? Excellent question. That's a discussion. The postgim lemaisa chaznish is mekel, that even if only one of them is kosher, that is sufficient. Because again, remember, what's the svar? The whole svar is that one will be boch if the other is there. So if you have one kosher and one paritz, the kosher still is going to feel bad if somebody else sees him. Even though the guy he's with is a menuvel, but the kosher has a self pride that he wouldn't want to be caught dirty-handed, red-handed with even with a menuvel watching him. Fine. This is how Ashkenazim follow. We see Stam from Yud as a kosher, unless he's known to be a paritz, which we'll try to discuss later, and therefore, halacha l'maaseh, you and your roommate can have the cleaning lady with the front door locked. Or a date, come visit you during the daytime and have lunch with her if your roommate is present with the front door locked. So therefore, if there's ever a situation at work, this is also a tremendous kula. If there's an accounting office or a law office or any other kind of professional office, this is also a very good, easy way to solve the problem. There are two from males who work in an office and are there. Again, if it's after hours and somebody's not there, that's complicated things. Whenever you have two from males working in an office, so they can have one Jewish secretary. They can have, and that secretary doesn't have to be concerned even if the doors are locked legamre. Let's see, who's this parutz that will no longer allow us to allow this woman to be alone with these two men? And once people are defined as prutzim, even many are not going to help you. For example, if you have 10 prutzim, that woman cannot be there. That Jewish woman cannot be even in a room with 10 prutzim, 20 prutzim, 30 prutzim. What's a parutz? So, for halachic purposes, a person who is a non-Jew is halachically, objectively considered a din of a parutz for these situations. What about Jews? Here we have an important machlokas. A kula and a chumra of Moshe. A kula from Mahari Mintz, Shailavav, says a paritz means somebody who has been a paritz, somebody who did something wrong, somebody who is nichshal in whatever, somebody who has a history of pritzas. Now, this Mahari Mintz sounds like somewhere in the realm of Arayas he once was nichshal. The Chachmas Adam has a tremendous chumrah. He says, even if somebody's a paritz in some other iser, right, he has this thing for chicken and cheese. So that will make him a paritz even in Hilchas Yichud. Otherwise, other than that, so he's from, since he was paritz in a different area. I don't know if that's the classical, let's assume somebody who has a history of being a paritz. Comes from Moshe and says, with a tremendous chumrah, he says, no. A parutz, meaning, and therefore, if one of these two roommates are prutz, if both these roommates are prutzim, they can't be with that cleaning lady or that person who's come to their apartment, that woman who's come to their apartment. Even if a person has a clean slate, has always been 100% didaktik in every area of halacha, and was never nichshal, if they're not confident in themselves that they will be able to be kofer their yetzer in such a situation, that is considered a parutz. And therefore, every person has to, you know, look inside and see if I was in a situation where, again, where there would be one, not just me and the woman, but if me and another man and a woman, if I'm not sure that I would be able to be kofer my yetzer in such a situation, then I would be considered a paritz, even though I have a clean slate. Just because this is what everyone likes to hawk about, I was at a meal this Shabbos, and he said that there's a gentleman there, a learned fellow, and he said I gave a series of shiurim online to the women at Sheng Shul, a six-part series, which I'm trying to condense right now into one shiur. And he said, oh, he heard my name, and he listened to some of my shiur on Hilchas Yichud. And I was flattered, because he seemed like somebody who knew a lot, and why would he be listening to my the shiur that I give, he seemed like he's capable of giving very impressive shiur of himself. He said, I wanted to see if you were going to talk about the point that I'm going to talk about. And he listened to the whole series just to see what I was going to say about this. I didn't make him too happy because I mentioned it, but I didn't give any comments das that he was waiting for. So the Eretz Yisrael Diskutik Apostle, Rabbi Yoshev, the Shevet Halevi, both say that somebody who watches television has it in parts. We don't question the efficacy of the Pesachim of Rabbi Yoshev or Rabbi Vosner, Lehavdu Ben Achayim Ben Achayim, clearly, because if somebody watches television, which is not what it was in the 50s or 60s or the 70s or even the 80s so much, there is a lack of sensitivity to arayas in terms of the scene, the nature of the scenes that come onto television, and therefore they lack this sensitivity to arayas, so they have a din paros, and therefore somebody, according to these poskim, would not be able to be, if somebody watches television, they would not be able to be in the situation of two men with a single woman. He doesn't want to know why I was going to say about this. All I'll say about that is that it could be that in different communities where TV is much more common and does not necessarily indicate a, more indicates a community from whom a person is part of, and less so the specific diktuk b'halakha in general, one could wonder about the applicability of that psak to other communities where TV is, let's say, part, much more significant part of the culture, as opposed to communities that are more insulated in nature. Yeah.
Moshe's shir is based on you knowing yourself with the other man.
Yes.
Or yourself.
Yes. No. Knowing that's what. Yes. That's, thank you for highlighting that. Ramosha's chumra is saying that even if you never did something wrong, if you're not sure if you'll be kofi or yetzer with another guy there, that's where.
Is the opposite true? Would Ramosha say someone who's actually,
meaning a guy who gets you.
But if there's someone else there, he would never do anything. That would be not a parents.
It's hard to imagine that. I think that would be objectively a parents. If you'd ask me again, you could fight. Whatever. You could argue with me. You could disagree with me. You could call me names. I just think in our community, just take it or leave it. If you like my gedder or not, I would assume that in our community, somebody who's shomer negiah would not be a part of somebody who's not Shomer Negiah. In my humble opinion, I think for these halachas, if somebody would ask me, I would consider that perhaps to be the halachas of a part. Yeah.
Say, right, the case where there's one kasher and one part of this. Chaz Mish is matir for the kasher. Would there be a heter for the woman?
Yes.
Be a heter for the woman?
Yes. Yes. That is not considered halachas of Yichud. That is not considered Nisviyach. That is not considered a situation of Yichud. Yes.
You say for the Shia said for Al Riveros, wasn't the price that Al Riveros means that, like, commit some Sicily, or he has once in the past.
I don't know. You have to look up the Chacham HaSadam. Chacham HaSadam, that Chumra, the Chacham HaSadam is in Kuf Chavav Sifhei. I assume Evan has her. Okay. So, how are we going to have women go to work if it's not a Jewish firm? If it's a non-Jewish firm, how are your wives or your daughters go to work? If we said that if there are Prutzim, the Yerushalmi says, even if there are 100 Prutzim, again, if there's Ksherim, there's one woman is kosher with two, is permitted with two kosher Jewish men. Once they're not two kosher Jewish men, if there's one kosher Jewish man, that could solve the problem. But let's say she works in a completely Gentile, right? One kosher, one paritz is mutter, right? Let's say it's an all non-Jewish firm, or it's a firm where everybody is not religious, and let's assume that they would fall under the categories, the parameters of a paritz. So how could she go to work? There are 150 people there. Half men, half women. What?
There are 150 people. It's not like Kishas Hayatim.
That's what we're about to figure out. That's what we're gonna work on right now. So how many people can there be? So now we're going to get into what Sfaradim have to do all the time, even with from Jews. Now Sfaradim, the Shita of the Rambam, of course, is that everybody is considered a paritz. Why is that? Because the Gemara says, where's the Rambam? Gemara says, Rav Yehuda have a kazlo b'urcha. They were walking down the road, and there was a certain woman that, I guess roads weren't busy like our roads, you know, you walk along a deserted highway, and a woman comes by. Amar li Rav Yehuda, let's start running, mikami gehenim. What do you mean? But b'ksherim it's okay. Right? Two men, Rav Yehuda, ksherim. It's okay, right? We're at least as good as Rav and Rav Yehuda, right? We're ksheir. We shouldn't be okay. Omer le says Rav Yehuda to Rav. Mi yemar de b'ksheirim kagon anav at. Who says that you and I are considered kosher, Rav and Rav Yehuda? Okay. Elokagon mai. So who is going to be a kosher? Says the Gemara, kagon Rav Chanina, Rav Papi, Rav Chaverev, whatever the story is the Gemara goes into, that they were willing to throw themselves into kivshan ha'eshes and all and jump off roofs to avoid situations of arayos dika situations. What comes out of the Rambam's shita is from this Gemara, as the Rambam understands it, that the only person who's considered a kosher that's permitted to be two men with one woman is these great tzaddikim who have previously demonstrated incredible mesiyus nefesh for arayos, to avoid arayos, and everybody else, stam from yid, is considered a parutz, and therefore one woman can never be with men. Period, according to the Rambam. For us, it's not okay because we're Ashkenazim, unless we want to be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch. Rambam is mekel, Shulchan Aruch is machmir like the Rambam. But even for us, Ashkenazim, we are fine when we're with two kosher men, but if you were with people who we know are prutzim, or people who have halacha of prutzim, like working in a non-Jewish firm, then the same shah is going to apply. When will there be a sufficient enough people that that's not called yichud? There are a lot of people, you can't say a whole busload full of hundreds of people is called, or train station full of people is called yichud. So here we have a gigantic machlokas, and this I think is probably the most important machlokas in Hilchas Yichud, and we don't have a good resolution of it. I'll give you the three shitas. The most kaldika shita is that you need two men with two women. Again, we're talking for Ashkenazim. If you're with, let's say, non-Jews or people who are not, let me just share with you one fascinating shaila that I got from a college campus that I never asked him which college he went to, but he told me which province in Canada it is in. But after I gave this series online about this Wayu Torah series on Hilchos Yichud, I get an email and then a phone call from this fellow who's in some college, and he's mounted Tzadik Yisod Olam. And the shah that he has is he grouped together the few religious students on campus who all keep kosher. Living amongst hundreds and thousands of non-Jews, they figured out the Jewish people are going to band together, the people who are careful about hakashas, they'll all rent one house together, and they'll be makbil, they're going to have a kosher kitchen, so they won't have all these, they won't be nechsha, chas v'shalom, in ma'achalos asura. So who are the people on campus who are committed to keeping kosher? Well, he, and another guy, and two other girls, or three other girls. So they are going to rent a house out, and they're going to have a kosher kitchen. So the shaila was that he listened to my shir. And he realized there might be some other issues to discuss. Well, if it's just, well, we said that the most lenient sheet is two and two, in which case most of the time he'll be okay, except for weekends when one or two or three of them, depending on which gender is and who it is, gets an invitation out and is away and sleeping somewhere else, or for not everyone's there all the time. So this was the shaila that we had to deal with. I encouraged him strongly that even though he felt he wouldn't be able to get out of the lease for this year, I encouraged him strongly that next year he should reconsider his options in terms of working out the room and the board issue. The most kal shita is 3 and 3. This is the post on the side of the Beis Shmuel on the Shulchan Aruch. That's the most kal shita. And now we're about to, but not everyone is there all the time. Sometimes, some would be away. So at different times, even though the general house had two guys with three girls or something like that. But at times, any given person or a few people could be away, and which would leave him and, depending on how many other people were there, might make it more of a compromising situation. Beis Shmuel says that 3 and 3, that's the most chomerdik opinion. And then there's a middle sheet in the middle. It says 2 men and 3 women are okay. How do we paskin? So Reb Moshe Feinstein says, the Beis Shmuel on the Shulchan Aruch takes that most chomerdik shita, that you need 3 and 3. And we're not going to go into the rayos, but the rayos are fascinating. We just don't have time. Reb Moshe Feinstein is machmir that in order to permit this rabbim, again, if we're talking about prutzim, whatever prutzim would be, whoever prutzim might be, you need 3 men and 3 women to be matir. Or if you're Sephardi, you always need, even with from men, you'll always need a minimum of 3 men with 3 women. And that's Reb Moshe Feinstein's psak lahachmir. Between you and me, if you are, and remember, since we're talking about multiple people here, we're talking about more than one man and one woman, so we're talking about an Isidra Banan. And if it's a Shas HaDchak, perhaps one can rely on fewer perhaps one can rely on two men with three women. Does anyone rely on two and two? Not really. But certainly as lechatchila, you should aim to be in a situation where there are no less than three men and three women. And therefore, if, for example, your wife or your mother or your daughter is working at a non-Jewish firm, and it's a small firm where there are not so many people around, they should ideally make sure that there will always be a minimum of three men and three women present, even regardless of who those men or women may be, in all circumstances. That's not yichud, that's not seclusion, that's a big party, a lot of people there. That will be okay.
So what did you tell this guy?
I told him I made very clear that the halacha does not permit that living situation, and he should take the room on the first floor, which is where the windows are level to the street, and he should sleep with his windows open and the nightlight, so that there'll be some light in his room, so people seeing inside will know we'll see him, and therefore there's no issue while he's sleeping at night. During the daytime, things are a little more calm. You could just leave the door, we'll talk about locked or unlocked in a moment, but you could leave the door ajar, whatever that means, to have the Heter Pesach Pesuach, and those are the parameters that I... And I strongly encourage him to seek a better solution as early as he can.
If you had a situation like that one, but there are many more people, meaning instead of just five people in the house, there are, let's say, 20 people in the house, but at times whenever, would that be something that...
So that's what we're going to get to in the next discussion, if we have time for it, Pesach Pesuch. If there is a situation where you are below the threshold of how many people are allowed, that's Yichud. Unless there are other people who could come in, that's going to be a different Heter Pesach Pesuch, which hopefully we'll get to. Let's just... Yeah, quick.
Well, a specific room is also Yichud if there are other people outside of it. Like if you're in a house and you and a woman are in a room, but they're like...
That's going to again be the same question as Pesach Pesuch, depending on if the door. If the door is locked, if the door to a bedroom is locked, and there's a man and a woman in a bedroom, that's Yichud. Yeah. If the door is unlocked, that's going to go in the question of Pesach Pesuch, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Okay. We mentioned in passing the important consideration that the Gemara outlines for us, that this heter of, again, we've only talked about one case so far, one woman with two men. That's only be'ir, because by derech, we're worried that somebody's going to have to go to the bathroom, leave the caravan, and you'll be left, this one woman with one man, because the other guy left to the bathroom. Therefore, by derech, you always need to have an extra man. Here, there's a ravid who takes this a step further. He says the same concern is going to be Balayla. Just like Badarach, we're worried that one of the two men will go to the bathroom, well, Balayla, we're worried that one of the two men is going to go to sleep. And therefore, let's take a very practical application. Let's say you and your roommate have an apartment, and someone who you're dating, she has a 12 o'clock shuttle back to Stern, and she's here until 12, so she wants to come to your apartment to have supper with you, or to not watch the game, because that by definition will make you a person. Anyway, you won't be able to have it. But I don't know, play video games on the computer that you don't watch. So we said that you should have a heter, right? One woman with two religious guys, that would be totally permitted. However, Balayla, we're worried that one of the men will fall asleep, says the Ravid, an extension of the Gemara's Chumra of Baderech, and therefore will be Aser. Now, what is Layla? Is Laila 12 o'clock? Is Laila after Tseis? Is it after Shkia? Is it at 4 in the morning? So here, again, Dvar Halacha says very clearly that Laila is defined on, listen so carefully because it's so important, whenever these specific people that are involved go to sleep. So if you have a roommate who's up every night till 3 in the morning, she can stay in your apartment with you until 3 in the morning. Just both of you are sharing. If you have a roommate who goes to sleep at 10, she has to get out of the apartment by 10 p.m. An added kula that both the Dvar Halacha and cited in Torah's Hayichid by Rabbi Yashiv, let's say there's a more of a kula. Let's say you don't have a roommate. You're there just by yourself. It's your apartment. But you have a friend visiting. If he's visiting, is he going to sleep in your apartment? No, he's going home. So therefore, as long as he's still visiting and not planning to sleep over by you, even if he's there till, he always goes to sleep at 10, 11, 12. But because there's whatever little excitement in your house, he's there till 2 in the morning. Well, since he's visiting, he's planning on leaving, it's not his bedtime tonight. So therefore, you'll have this kula, even though normally he goes to sleep every other night of the week at 11, here you will have the kula till 2 in the morning, since he's visiting, this is the kula Ribul Yashiv, and it will still be mutter. It will not be considered Laila. However, let's just finish off. So therefore, what do you need by Laila? It's not enough to have two, one might fall asleep, you need three. But if you do have three men, then it will be permitted even by Laila. So, halacha lemaisa, I don't suggest this to anybody, but halacha lemaisa, if you look at the dry halacha without anything else in your in a situation that you really just have to rely on, just bottom line halacha, if you have three men, then even at night, it should be permitted to have one woman to be with three men even at night. That's in a case where somebody's stuck, there's a snowstorm, they can't get home. Other than that, I don't think you should rely on that, even though that is bottom line halacha. When is it very nogea? You have a ride back from the mountains, a ride from Baltimore back to the city. And who's in the car? Well, there's a guy, yeshiva, a guy, a knife for an area Israel is coming back, and is going to give a ride to some high school girl that was visiting her aunt in Baltimore, and another yeshiva guy who has a date. So that's two guys, and this high school, the high school girl will, who's going to visit her aunt is going to be in the backseat. So there, you have two guys, and a girl should be permitted. But balayla, it's going to be also. So you're going to need a third person, a third man in the car to permit that traveling. Miyakar had been.
What?
I sleep when I'm in the car.
So when Frank comes to your apartment, you like fall asleep.
When I have visitors, most of the time when I have guests, when I pick guests for Shabbos meals, very rarely do the guests fall asleep. When I go in cars with other people, I as much as I can try to go to sleep.
Even in a car, a person can wake. It's so easy to wake up in a car. You're by definition in this little space together.
I hear that if you figure out the situations otherwise, you could argue that. But this is the psak that we assume. But derech, you always need an extra person. Correct. Thank you. Thank you very much for clarifying that. This is even in the middle of the day. If you're baderech, obviously in a place that there aren't people around. Again, baderech is the din of the Gemara. The Raivan only extended the din of derech to include even Laila. Right.
The person driving doesn't have a heter.
Tarbin
lachta.
It's big, right. But does she have the heter?
Yeah.
Once he matters the situation.
And if he parks at a red light, puts into park? That's not changing the situation. I'm not talking about him going somewhere else, going out of the car, going off to some quiet mountain cul-de-sac in the middle of the mountains.
Red lights are usually more public.
Okay, so then that's not called baderech.
Also, red lights usually less than 35 seconds.
You can always pull the car. You can pull the car to the side. Okay. Yeah, I hear that. Those are all good points. Until now, we talked about one case and one case alone. We talked about one woman with two men. That's all we talked about. Now, let's talk about the next line of the Mishnah. Let's learn another line of Mishnah. At least you go home today and say, what did you learn? We learned two lines of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah says that Lo yisyachid adam im shtei nashim. That if there are, that's actually the first line of the Mishnah. That if there's one man, you cannot be with two women. So therefore, this is now going to be more of an issue to talk about your situation. So you find yourself in a place where there are two women. We're not going to talk about the svara that the Gemara gives, my taima. We're not going to have to talk about that because it's not important for this shiur right now. You have to chazer get the condition of those things. Okay, well, we'll leave it out for right now. There is an important kula. Again, so the Mishnah says that one man is also to be with two women. What about with more than two women? Is this common? This is very, very common. Why? Because we live in Washington Heights. And a lot of the people whom we date also live in Washington Heights. And they have roommates, or they don't have roommates. Most of them have roommates. So let's say you drop a girl at her house at 11:30 at night, or at 12:30 at night, and you want to stay in the house to get a cup of whatever it is, or to finish whatever kind of very important conversation you were having. I was dating when I was in Lakewood, and before I would drive back the hour and a half or 2 hours into Lakewood at 11:30, 12, or 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, I would need some tzedul haderech, or at least to use a bathroom. So if I drop her off wherever she'd be, can I go into the house, use the bathroom? Can I go drop her off and take a drink of Coke to or coffee to get me back to yeshiva? So this is very halacha l'maisa. So how many roomies does she have? So she's one, and she has one roommate. So that's Mefarshim Mishnah, that's not permitted, the Mishnah says, because the women will be mechapa one and the other. A person could be bought one, and the other one will be mechapa for her, for whatever reason. However, Rashi there says, Akula, that number of the Rishonim say that if there are three women present, that will be mutter. Why? Well, there are different reasons. Rashi says because it's physically, biologically impossible for a man to be bought three women, one after the other after the other. And therefore, there will be at least one who's going to be out of the mix. At least one of them is left out. So what happens if she feels left out? She's going to start telling everybody. So of course, you're going to be scared to do something if there's going to be somebody who's going to blabbermouth about it. The two women will be mechapa one for another. But that third woman, since it's physically impossible to get to that third woman, so therefore she'll talk about it, of course, that will save the whole situation of Yichud, because that's a shmira in Hilchos Yichud in general. That's Rashi's kula. The Ritva says, no. When you have so many people, right? Three's a crowd. Three's a party. Three people is just a lot of people there. They're going to talk. People, they'll just start talking. If they're talking about it, you know, about what happened and this guy and all the excitement that happened over there in that apartment, then people are going to know. You don't want to, you're scared of that becoming known, so therefore you're never going to do anything wrong if there are three people there. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, according to this Rashi and the Ritva and the Rashba, Rashba says a different svar, a third svar. He says, there's so many people, you're just embarrassed to do anything to any of them because there's just so many people watching. Three different svaras. So based on this Rashi, the Ritva and Rashba, if you drop off a young lady at her apartment, if you drop her off in her own apartment, it's yichud. If you drop her off in an apartment where she has one roommate, it's yichud. If you drop her off in an apartment where she has two roommates, that means three altogether, that would permit yichud, and you will be able to be there with the front door locked till 4 in the morning, or whenever you finish whatever incredibly important, deep, meaningful conversation that you're having, so that, because either it's impossible to be all of them, or somebody's going to, the one that's left out, well, somebody's going to talk, or it's just too embarrassing. Anyway, that's what should come out. The Dvar Halacha gives a kula that this would apply even if some or all of the women are prutzos, which is an incredible kula. That means if you have one man with three people who are all prutzos, all people who are not do not adhere to Halacha, or all people who are not Jewish, you will be permitted to have yichud. So let's say you're a secretary and you work for three female lawyers. Or you're a lawyer and you have three female secretaries. Even if they are not Jewish or not religious or for whatever other reason they might have a din of being prutzos, you'll be permitted to be misyachid with them with the front door lock because of one of these three svaras that we mentioned from the Rishonim.
What if one of them is farting?
The math is too hard for me to calculate on that.
Father's machmir, a woman after a woman.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, so is Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha. Paskins like the Shulchan Aruch and like the Rambam that you're not allowed to have this heter of one person with three women.
The
Ramad brings Rash, brings Yesh Omrim, which is Shittas Rashi. The Ramad sounds like he's Meko. Ramosha finds nevertheless as Machmir, not like, I mean, the Ramad doesn't say, oh, Uldidan, it's Mutter. The Ramad says, V'yesh Omrim, that it's Mutter. V'yesh Omrim, that three women are okay. Again, normal reading of the Ramah would lead us to assume that it's mutter, which is the Torah Sayyichid also says. We're talking about an Isidra Baran here anyway. And the Ramah sounds like he's being Mekel. You should be able to Mekel. So Torah Sayyichid comes out that saying even though Ramosha was Machmir, so if it's a Shas Adchak, it's a really important conversation that you have to finish, you know what I mean? Let's say, for example, she just said, you know, my dear friend, I think you're a great guy. And you have so many wonderful qualities and you have so much to offer somebody else. And I think that's a shas adchak because you're convinced that this is Miss Bashert, so you have to convince her otherwise. That would, in my mind, certainly be a shas adchak. And then you'd be able to go into her apartment with two other roommates and rely on this Shitas Rashi, presumably the Ramah, even though Ramah is Machron, but I think that would be a shas adchak on which you could rely on the Ramah. Which is a few very important applications of this. If one of them is a Sephardi, that's her problem, it's not your problem.
I'm putting her in Yichud by going to her apartment? That's not...
Is that's a whole shot of listening to Eber for her. I don't know. It's a good question. Don't ask. You don't have to ask. I think there's a chazaka here. If all of you, every single person this year is Ashkenazi, I think you could have a, you have the right to assume that your date's roommates are Ashkenazios. I don't think it's something that you have to ask to be Mu'ar. That we could add that to the list of questions if there aren't enough. And tell me about your roommates. Tell me about her roommates. Okay, so therefore, if you want to be the chavesh on the seminary girls' trip, right? That chavesh, the guy in the back with the gun and the big kippah sruga, the tehillim. You know what he looks like. So is he allowed to take the seminary girls to nachal something or other? It's deserted. So based on this, so you certainly could, because there are more than three women. Could you babysit your three nieces? Yes, you could babysit your three nieces. If you're a male social worker, could you do the group therapy with three women? Yes, you can. And most importantly, can a man teach a woman's class? Can a man teach a class at Stern if the door is locked? Where there are women and all that? Yes, because you, once you have a minimum of three, according to this Ramah, it will be mutter. The only limitation here that the Shulchan Aruch writes is that it's only mutter b'nashim, that it's only mutter if you're a regular person, but not asak of im hanashim. If your business is with nashim, that will be prohibited. What is the parameters of asak of im hanashim? So the Rishonim explain that the whole heter was that the women will talk and embarrass him, but if he, the women need his guy. He's the one that they buy all their mascara and lipstick from. If he goes down, the world is coming to an end. So they're going to cover up for him, and therefore they won't cover up. They're going to talk about him if there are three, so he'd be scared to do anything. But here, they never talk about him. He's their lifeline to whatever it is. So therefore, they're going to cover up for him. Therefore, the heter of Nashim Harbi will not exist with Asakim HaNashim. What are the parameters? Rabbi Yashiv Said in Torah Sayyichud says that that's only if your job is exclusively for women. So therefore, if you sell jewelry at Macy's, there are men's watches and women's watches. You're not a sakavim hanashim. If you work in the women's jewelry department at Macy's, and you don't do the men's watches also, then you are a sakavim hanashim. If you're a rebbe and you teach girls only, and you're not a rabbi on weekends, so then you are a sakavim hanashim, and that will take away this whole heter of yichud with many women. And therefore, if your only job is to teach in a seminary, but that's not really possible because nobody could live like that, but if your only job is to teach in a seminary, that's your sole source of income, then you cannot have the door locked with your class of females. Because that's going to be yichud. Because, Nashim Harbe doesn't exist by a Sakhman Nashim. If, however, you teach in a yeshiva, you know, two nights a week, night seder, or you're also a rabbi during the week, or whatever else, that will be okay. An OBGYN, that will be more of an issue because he's definitely a Sakhim HaNashim. There are other issues about doctors. Okay. Yeah?
That's not the same as like a guy who sells jewelry, a guy who teaches women. That's, you have to
push it. A Sakhim HaNashim, no?
I don't know.
That's a Sakhim HaNashim. Why would that not be a Sakhim HaNashim?
It's not like he's dealing with women's thing. It just happens to be sending a field of women. It happens to be...
He's not dealing with their jewelry. He's dealing with their minds. That sounds even...
For the Rebbe, if he does, that sounds too bad.
I hear what you're saying. That's a good spot.
Like,
they wanted to bring him down, right?
We see from history, yeah.
Yeah, but let's move, because we didn't even start. Okay, that was the introduction to Hilchos Yichud. Now you know what Yichud is or isn't. Now let's talk about the various Heterim that we spoke about in the remaining hour and a half that we have. So we said that the Gemara tells us that there's a heter called Pesach Pasuach, Amar of Yosef, Gemara in Kedushin Pei Aleph, right after the Mishnah, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. The next 3 minutes will probably be the most important points that you'll get out from today. This, of course, is going to be the heter for us to solve almost every situation of cleaning ladies, of plumbers and electricians when the wife is home, or the mother's home, going to doctor's offices, working in the firm, at the accounting office or the law office. What is Pesach Pasuach? We'll talk about what is Rosh Hashanah in a minute. But what is Pesach Pasuach? Here we have a gigantic machlokas, but let's just conceptualize and understand what's the heter in Lamdus. And once we understand the heter in Lamdus, we might understand the machlokas achronim, the shonim achronim, over what constitutes Pesach Pesach. What's the heter? Okay, I'm in a door, I'm in a room, and the door is open, whatever the word open means. The door is open. So now, people could look in and see what's happening. Or, is that the heter? Or it's that I'm choshish that somebody might come and open the door and come inside. Shema Yira or Shema Yichnas. That is a gigantic machlokas. The Rebbe Kveger, the base mayor, that comes up in numerous places in Yeredet, in Evan HaEzer, and in Hilchus, in numerous places in Evan HaEzer. Both are machmir and say that in order for Pesach Pasuach L'Shus Haram to be mutter, the door has to be ajar. It may not be closed, shut, even if it's unlocked, it may not be closed. The door has to be ajar. And they bring rayas, which we don't have the time for. The Stipler explains that the whole lumdus is that they hold that the isser is shema, that the heter, Pesach Pasuach, is shema yira. So if the door is ajar, so I see there's an open door, what do? As a nosy person, I stick my head and I look inside and I see what's happening. So therefore, if you're on the inside with a woman and you know that the door is ajar, somebody will just stick their nose in and look, that will be mutter. However, kvodam b'mekomam munach, there's a shas which is harashpa. And Rav Ben Yona, who says that black on white, the Rashba says the heter of Pesach Pasuach is Shema Yikanei Sham Adam, not Shema Yira. Shema Yikanei Sham Adam, and the Rashba says Mefurish, black on white, that it is only if Imhadelis Naul, but if it's Mugaf, if it's closed, it is absolutely permitted. That is called Pasuach. So Pesach Pasuach Lishus Raman says the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yonah. The problem is that the Rebbe Kveger and the Beis Meir knew the Rashba. They just held that there was a Torah Sofer in that Rashba. And therefore, the Beis Meir and the Rebbe Kveger says, yeah, of course the Rashba says it, but the Girs is wrong. And therefore, even you don't have a Rashba on your side to say that you're allowed to leave the door unlocked. It has to mamish be ajar. However, we have a proof against their taina that there's a Torah Sofer, because there's a Rishut HaRadvaz who lived well before the Beis Meir and after the Rashba, and that Shut HaRadvaz quotes the Rashba the way we have the Rashba, and that knocks out their suggestion that the Shut HaRashba was a Torah Sofer, and therefore the Shut HaRadvaz tells us that the Rashba is right the way we have it, and the only time Pesach Pasuach is usher is if its door is locked, but if the door is unlocked, it is mutter. That's what the Shut HaRashba says, as confirmed by the Radvaz. And again, it is a raging machlokas, and therefore, if I had to tell you what to do, I would say the following. By an iser, by yichudah raisa, I would definitely be machmir, to have the door ajar. By yichudah rabbanan, if you had to, you could be mekel. For example, if the cleaning lady is there, that if she's a non-Jewish cleaning lady, that already knocks it down to an iser rabbanan. So iser rabbanan, and the Rashba is mekel, so it's true. So then maybe one could say, leave the door closed as long as it's unlocked. Tzitzi Eliezer doesn't want to go as far. Tzitzi Eliezer says, if you have another tziruf, to be mitzarif, it's not just the fact that it's drabbanan, but if there is, for example, yeah, he says even if there are two women, even though normally one man with two women is aser, but even in that case, you could leave the door closed as long as it's unlocked. What about the fact that the door is closed? So let's assume for now, let's go with the Rashba. The door is closed. It's unlocked, but it's closed. Do I really think anyone's going to come in? Or better yet, I'm in therapy. I'm a psychologist or a doctor. And rule number one is, in therapy, you don't have other people walking in, right? Otherwise, you're not going to have the confidence and the trust that you're trying to build. So I'm giving therapy to whoever, this young lady who's in the office with me. Door is closed but unlocked. Great, but no one's walking in. Is that going to be mutter? The whole heter of the Rashba says, Shem Yikaneis, no one's coming in. It is mutter. Why? Because the heter of this Rashba is based on some whatever situation with Yayin being touched by Goyim, where it was a situation that we don't have to. We're worried that the guy somebody's going to come in and touch the wine, whatever the situation was. And there, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is specifically talking about Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. That we're worried that somebody is going to touch we're choshes. Somebody might touch the wine even though they're not supposed to come in. So we see it first. Even if somebody's not expected and not ought not come in, if the door is open and somebody can come in, that will be mutter. And that is so important to halacha lemaisa, because according to this, you have a heter for doctors, we have a heter for therapists, as long as, again, there are people in the waiting room or people in the front door. I'm having some voice problems. I can't scream from the front of the class. So I went to a speech therapist recently, and as I was going there for my first visit, I knew it was a female speech therapist because she takes my insurance. So I realized that she doesn't have it's not in a clinic, it's in her house. And I was concerned that maybe what I was sort of formulating in my mind the whole scenarios of what I would say and how I would say it and what I should do. And how. So I, Baruch Hashem, as I walked in, I guess she noticed that I looked somewhat Jewish. So she said, I'm going to leave the door open. I'm going to leave the front door open because sometimes, you know, so this way anyone could come in. And not a jar, but she left it unlocked. So I think her husband might have been home anyway. But Baruch Hashem, that was good.
In the Heights, where the bottom door of the building is locked.
Excellent question. What happens if you're in an apartment building? We'll get to that in a second. If you're in an apartment building and the apartment door is unlocked, but you can't get in, what's the Rishus HaRabim? So we discussed what Pesach Pesach is. Now you want to know what Rishus HaRabim. To what must this door, this unlocked door, or this ajar door, must it be open? So here, the Beis Meir has a chumra and says, Dafka open to Rishus HaRabim. And the Binyan Tzion, these both achronim, is Meika and says, no, even if it's open to a chatzer. Halacha l'maisa, the Dvar Halacha, which is what you could, the Bible that we could follow, says is mekel, and it's sufficient that the door is open even to a place that is at least three people. If there's a door that's open to three people, in other words, an apartment in any apartment building, even a tiny apartment building that only has a few apartments, if there are three people that it will be open to, or even less than three people if it's a husband and wife who are shomrim, let's say it's certainly a Jewish husband and wife, or a shomer for any other else, right? If there's a husband and wife, then you could have a woman there or a man there. They're matzil from the situation of Yichud. That will be mutter. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, if you have an apartment, you are permitted to leave the front door ajar or unlocked, according to the Rashba, to the hallway, even if the bottom front door to the building is a locked front door.
What about if, like, you're in a house, you could, like, be upstairs or downstairs?
How many people are in the house?
I'm saying you're with.
If your family is downstairs in the living room, and you are talking to your female cousin in the bedroom with the door unlocked, that would be beseder.
Well, let's say no one else in the house besides you and the cousin, and you left the door unlocked.
The front door. Excellent question. Thank you very much. That's the next point. Very, very important. Thank you. I wanted to talk about that. Let's say the front door is. Whether it's ajar or open, but you're not in that room. You're in three rooms back. You go into the entrance room, through the living room, to the kitchen, off to the family room. You're four rooms behind. You can't see in from there. Even if you walk in, you wouldn't get to that four, you know, that den or that family room, the playroom all the way in the back of the house. Here, the Radvaz says that, well, it should be tali on the two svaras that we said, the lamdas. If the heter is shema yireh, it has to be ajar so you could peek in. Well, you peek in, you won't see anybody. It should be aser. The Radvaz doesn't hold like that. The Radvaz, as we mentioned, holds like that. He's the one who cited the Shut HaRash, but in its original form, says, no, the heter is somebody come in, therefore could come in. And therefore, the Radvaz says, Mefurish, even if you're all the way in an interior room, try to say in an interior very fast, a lot of times, in an interior room, three rooms back, it is mutter because since he'll be able to come through the front door, he could walk through the living room, through the kitchen, to the den, into the playroom. And therefore, you could talk to your cousin in the back of the house or on the second floor of the house in the back room because the front door is open. Halacha l'maaseh. Yes. Certainly, if it's a jar, also, but yeah, halacha l'maaseh.
It's like a doctor, therapist, so since someone can walk in, even no one will walk in. So that's true, like any apartment building, no one will walk into those apartments.
And we said, nevertheless, that was what we proved from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that even though people don't typically walk in, it is mutter. If you want to be mad for the base man or a big vigor, I suggest you do and leave the door ajar. Yeah. And sometimes there's a door that's a little ajar, people always wonder that everything's okay, when the door open,
like,
if I'd be walking down an apartment and I saw an apartment a little bit, whatever. Okay. There's one very important limitation to Pesach Pasuach. The whole heter is, again, either somebody will look in or Shami Yikanes. If it's Shami Yikanes, there have to be people who will be Nichnas. There have to be, it's Pasuach L'Shosan, there have to be people there, even three. How late does this go? This is a shayla for me. When I was going out, when I was in Lakewood, I asked this to the postik in Lakewood. This is actually when I was going out with my wife. And she had an apartment in Queens on Main Street, a block past Amazing Savings. and she had not enough roommates, and we had to, whatever I want to know. Again, I had my long drive from Queens to Lakewood. It's an extra half hour. It's not just like to Brooklyn. It's 2 hours. So I needed to get a drink before I go back to Lakewood. So I asked the posik in Lakewood if I could go into her apartment. And he said, as long as, she didn't live in an apartment building, it was a second floor. He said, as long as the people in the other part of the house are up. And it happened to be unfortunate that the other person in the house, the other people who own the house, the bottom floor, went to sleep at like 10 or 11, which is a little bit difficult for us. But the Chazon Ish said that in Bnei Brak in 1950, this heter, Pesach Pasuch L'Shisran, was 10 o'clock. I would say that in Washington Heights, you're good at least, I mean, the same thing that we say by Hanukkah, that Ashtecha L'Gum Nashuk. I think you're probably safe certainly till 12, probably even till 1, and if you're in the dorm, you're not supposed to have women in the dorm, so that's a different shaila. Another limitation to this heter of Pesach Pesuach is libo gaspa, is if she's your cousin, then there will not be heter of Pesach Pesuach. If you're very friendly, you grew up together, you went to school together, you went to elementary, I went to school with this girl, we were in kindergarten together, first grade, second grade, through eighth grade together, we went to high school together. She lives three doors down, and we grew up together, and our parents are best friends. I'm not going out with her or anything, but. And Pesach Pesuach, right? Answer is wrong. That will be aser because that's gaspa, and you don't have the heter of Pesach Pesuach l'shus rabim by gaspa.
That's what
the gaspa means. Yes. Yeah, yes. Will we expand it to include a lot of other people who are less friendly? There are posts that say that there's even an Aruch HaShulchan or a Chachmas Adam who's gigantic chumrah, and who you do business with, and you know even for a business relationship would be gas, but that's tremendous chumrah. That takes away the whole heter of Pesach Pesach. I don't know if you have to be machmir for that. So let's just apply when Pesach Pesach, the Noda Behuda says Mefurish, will extend even to windows. Even if you couldn't always going to walk in, but they could see in. But once you talk about windows, this is going to be very important, because once you talk about windows, it's only going to be in as much as people could see. So therefore, if you're in the outside room, that will be okay. But if you're in an interior room, that will not give you the heter of having a window open. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, what I suggest to people who are on dates and want to drop their date home at a... at let's say the parents' house, which is the first floor. So if you go to the living room, you open up the shades, even if no one's home or everyone's asleep, whatever it is, if you open up the shades and turn the lights on in the living room or the dining room, and there's a bay window open up to the street, as long as there are people on the street, not too many people, but as long as there are some people going down the street, it might not work in a cul-de-sac in Muncie where no one drives on the street past like 10 o'clock after the 10 o'clock Maariv, then you're stuck. But if you live on a street where people travel somewhat and you're visible from the inside, so too, similarly, you can sit in a car. If you park your car in a populated area, you could sit in the car as long as there are still people there, because the windows are there. Again, let's assume a commercial street where there are people going. To finish off, we didn't talk at all about Baila Be'ir. Let's just talk about two very important applications. Anyone who wants to... Minchas to 33 now. Everyone wants to go? Go. I'm going to go another 3-4 minutes. That's okay. And just talk about doctors and another very important kula. Another very important kula is even if you yourself are in a situation of yichud, but there are people who have the key, then you could rely on the people that have the key. That's as though it's Pesach Pesach L'Shus Ram, because anyone could come home at any point in time. I had that shayla within the past day or two. Somebody called me and there was a situation that they were alone with somebody, but there were a lot of other roommates, and the roommates could come at any point in time, and presuming that those other roommates would add up to a heter, a number of people that are mutter, then it would be okay. Let's finish off talking about a doctor. First of all, if a woman goes to a male doctor, you have one, perhaps, kula of baila be'ir. So the halachas of baila be'ir we're not even getting into right now, we don't have time, but Rabbi Yoshe, there are a few mahalchim in the poskim. Rabbi Moshe is the most makel. Rabbi Yoshe says that if there are three women around, meaning the woman who's visiting the doctor, and there are two nurses, then you have the heter of three women, Nashim Harbe, and this one woman can go to the doctor. That's, of course, if the door is open and door is unlocked, then those women could come in. Nowadays, I think it's very rare that you ever have a male doctor treating a female patient that he'll ever lock the door. He's just scared of lawsuits. So even if he's a parrot, if there are, again, this woman plus two women outside, it will be okay, because the fact that he's a parrot on one hand might be a problem, but the counterbalance is he doesn't want to ruin his professional reputation. But if there are less than two women, then it will be a problem. So if there's just a woman and there's only one nurse, that, according to Rabbi Yashiv, will be a problem. Rav Moshe Feinstein is a little bit more mako, and he basically, he doesn't say it's mutter. He says, the reason why we go to doctors is the following. But let's assume that's what he means is the halacha. That's all he writes. Is you could go to the doctor as long as you're not the last patient of the day and the nurse left. If there's a nurse there, even one nurse, he's Marco, then if she's wondering why things are taking, while the doctor's inspecting the woman, we're not worried because he's busy doing whatever he's tarred with. After he finishes working on with her, are we worried for the yichud at that time duration? We're not worried about that because there are other, even if there's no one's going to come in, all the other patients are waiting for him. Or the nurse is wondering why he's taking so long to come out. And if you have the last slot of the day, one has the last slot of the day, and the nurse already left, there is no heter to go to the doctor. And therefore, a woman who's going to, a woman who works, wants to go to the doctor after work, has to make sure that she's not going to go to the doctor when there are no other people there, obviously. So we do not do any of Baila Be'ir, and we do not do any of the halachas of Shomrim in terms of which family members are Matzilim. And of course, we did not get a chance to talk about Friedman versus State of New York, the girl who jumped off the ski lift because she thought that it would be Yehar Gval Yavar for her to stay at the ski lift. And she sued the State of New York with the operators of the chairlift. We didn't talk about that until Yehar Gval Yavar, but if you want more marmakomas, you're welcome to see me and I can give them to you personally. Thank you so much. Yeah,